The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is his testimony. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he replied, "No." So they said to them, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the path of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." Now this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's go back for a minute, a little over 100 years. It's 1906, and St. Patrick's Church has just been dedicated. The parishioners all live in this neighborhood called the First Ward. 95% of them are Irish immigrants or second-generation Irish immigrants, and they were people who were relatively poor. Most of the men worked on the ore boats. They earned an average of $6 a week. And so they left home early Monday morning and they didn't come back until late Friday evening. Many of the women worked as domestic servants in the homes over on West 6th through West 10th Street. There were 495 students in St. Patrick's School, though there were only 450 families in the parish, way less than half of what we have today. But in those days, they had huge families. It would be nothing for a family to have 5, 8, 10 children, and they struggled to provide for them. To give you an example of the level of poverty, on April the 3rd, 1894, a tornado touched down in this neighborhood. Father Peter Cawley, who was pastor from 1892 until he died in 1934, sent a letter to every family in the parish because the tornado took the second floor off of St. Patrick's School, which was over on French Street between 4th, on Holland Street between 4th and 5th. And he levied an assessment on every family in the parish that he would have the funds to rebuild the school. And the assessment was 10 cents. And he said in the letter, a copy of which is in the rectory, that you can pay it at the rate of a penny a month for 10 months. They didn't have much. When Christmas came, a child might get a pear or a piece of candy, nothing like what they get today. And so when parents brought their children into this room, it was very easy to get them focused on what all of this is about. Just the grandeur and the magnificence of this room was something they had never seen. To hear that pipe organ and to watch the actions that portray here, it was very easy to get them focused. Now fast forward 100 years. You bring your children into this room, and there are 10,000 things out there that are drawing their attention away from it. We try to focus on it, and they don't get it. There's often a disconnect between this ritual and our children. And so one by one, we watch them drifting away, and they're not coming back. As I pray upon that and reflect upon it, asking myself, what can I do as a pastor to turn the tide? I am getting more and more convinced that the hand of God is involved in this. Don't ask me how, It's beyond the wildest scope of our imagining, but I am convinced that the hand of God is involved in this. Your children are good people. They're ethical, they're moral, they care about others. But there's a disconnect with this. This ritual doesn't speak to them. And so I'm convinced that God is doing something that we can't begin to understand. And because of that, I'm filled with hope. Hope, the awareness and the knowledge that things will be better. Hope is what Advent is all about. Amen.